Let's go ahead and continue during this session. And as I said, we do have these brochures back there about us. You can grab one of these. You can go on our website. It has our website address there. On our website, we have all kind of awesome things on there. We have a lot of good teachings on there. We have a lot of good testimonies, video clips. And the video clips that I may not be able to show you today, I am going to get those processed and put on the website. And if you do sign up to get our newsletter via email or whatever, we will let you know when that is on so you can go and check it out. However, there is on our main website page, just the main one, at kimmy-inc.org. You can find it on the pamphlet here. We do have on the main page one of our outreaches that we did to a Zulu area. And a lot of people, they like to hear, you know, because you can hear them singing and all that sort of thing. A lot of people like to hear that. And so you can get a good dose of that on that one video. And so I do encourage you to get one of these. We do also have a newsletter that we do. You pick one up, obviously. Read that. Pass it among other people. Let them get excited reading the testimonies and those types of things. Amen. And so we're going to continue this session on inheritance, because I was setting everyone up for what I really want to talk about. Not that I didn't really want to talk about that, but you really have to have that foundation to really start going forward, because I am very strongly of the opinion, if you want to call it that, I believe it is scriptural. I'm going to show you from the Word that God has never asked us to do a work for Him. He's asked us to allow Him to do a work through us. And there's a big difference between the two of those. If you're trying to do a work for God, you're wanting God to receive what you do and approve of that. However, if Christ is in you and He's doing the work through you, then He's already getting the glory and He's doing the work and all those sort of things. And so Lisa did read that verse in Revelation chapter 2 where they all were doing a great work, but Jesus said, "Hey, I have this against you. You've left my first love." So God has never expected us just to do a work for Him. You know, while we are servants of God, Jesus did say, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." And so anyway, let's go ahead and let's turn over to start this session off. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. And I don't know if you've read different psalms or different parts of the Old Testament. I'm sure you have, but many psalms are what they call messianic psalms. They're pointing to Jesus, His ministry that He would have, describing what His ministry would look like, describing what His miracles would look like. Psalm 22 describes what happened to Jesus when He was on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It also tells us not one of His bones were broken and that they cast lots for His garments. That's all there in Psalm. And when it happened there, when Jesus did in fact die, it in fact said they did not break any of His bones. They went to break His bones, but they noticed He was already dead, so that it might be fulfilled. Goes right back. So in Psalm chapter 2, this is a messianic psalm. And in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son." This is the Father speaking to the incarnate Son. When the second person of the Godhead took on human flesh, that is not when He was created. Jesus is not a created being apart from His flesh. The second person of the Godhead took on human flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 1, we know in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so, this is the Father speaking to Jesus. When He showed up in the flesh, this is the God speaking to Jesus and saying, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." And then it says, "Ask of me, and I will give you," talking to Jesus, "the nations for your inheritance." We were talking about inheritance today. "I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." This is a promise given to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this is just amazing to me, because most people, when they think of inheritance, they think of gold, they think of houses, they think of businesses, whatever it may be. Not only that, but we actually see, how many of you ever seen children fighting amongst themselves over the inheritance?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
hate each other, mad at each other, angry that the father didn't leave that to me. There are some kids, I mean, there's even people have killed each other over inheritance. And this inheritance, what makes it so different is that Jesus died to receive his own, to the inheritance that he desires. He desires us. He desires the nations. And this is not just a message because I'm a missionary. A lot of people say, oh, this is one of those typical, you're a missionary, missionary messages. No. This is a message for all of us. Because we just set up in the last session that we are joint heirs with him. And so the inheritance that is Jesus's is also our inheritance. But we have to start thinking the way that God desires for us to think in order for us to receive the inheritance. The inheritance that God wants to receive. Now Jesus understood this. He understood that the nations or people were his inheritance. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Let's look at verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. And it says, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So Jesus was aware of why he was here. Jesus knew that his purpose, his desire was to receive the nations as his inheritance. Do you know that Jesus, the only reason Jesus came in the flesh, the only reason God was manifest in the flesh was in order to be able to purchase us to receive his inheritance. The Bible says, you who once were far off, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Peter puts it this way, you have not been purchased by incorruptible things, but you have been purchased by the pure, let's go there, it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's just see this here. Verse 18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed, 1 Peter 1, 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is just incredible. That Jesus came in order to receive his inheritance. In order to receive us. In order to receive every single person, that which is, was most important to him. He came, he put on human flesh in order to shed his blood to purchase us. To make us joint heirs with him. Let's go over to, I want to read a verse real quick out of Revelation. Let me find it because I don't have it written down. Interesting, I can't find it, but I can quote it, I can paraphrase it and everyone would know what I'm talking about. But it's that in that portion of Scripture where around the throne of God, there's just multitudes of people from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nationality, and all those things. For some reason, I'm not finding it. But anyway, I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. You've heard it. So anyway, I just want to bring that out because the Bible tells us that in that time when John saw the vision in the book of Revelation, that there was an innumerable host of people. Multitudes and multitudes of people from every tongue, every tribe. Here, I found it right here. Revelation chapter 5. Which one? 7-9? It's in more than one place then, isn't it? Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And in chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Now I'm saying this because Jesus, this is what Jesus desires. So let's turn over to Isaiah 42. We all agree, we all saw that Jesus desires the nations for his inheritance. He asked for the nations for his inheritance. When he was on the earth, he said, "This is the reason I came forth." And he went and preached the gospel to the other villages also. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe unless they hear? And how shall they hear unless someone goes? And how shall one go unless they're sent?" How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings, glad tidings, good news. Good news to all the nations. So there's only one way to reach people, folks. It's through preaching the good news of the gospel. That's the seed. Jesus is the good word. He's that seed. So when we're preaching the good news of Jesus, we're actually preaching himself, because he's the word. I don't know exactly how it happens, but when the word goes forth, the good news, the true good news, it's like Jesus is sitting right there on their heart. And if they say yes, they become in Christ and Christ in them. So let's turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Let's look at verse 1. This also is a messianic portion of Scripture. Isaiah had many portions of Scripture during his writings where he was pointing to Christ. One of the most familiar is Isaiah 53. How he bore our sin, he bore our griefs. Chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because all of us have gone our own way. That was talking about Jesus. So here in Isaiah 42, again, Isaiah's talking about Jesus. And in verse 1, the Father again is speaking to the Son and says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Now, in the King James, the New King James, it says justice to the Gentiles. In the King James, it says judgment to the nations. So if you're not careful, if you don't know what judgment means, if you don't really understand this, you will think we're conditioned when we hear the word judgment, we think negative. We think condemnation. So that's why a lot of people are out there railing on people. We're bringing judgment to this world. I even heard one preacher say, "We have to judge the world's sin." We do? Like, wow, that's amazing. I want to just unplug a little bit, and I want to go into judgment exactly so that we can understand. When the Bible says, if you use that word judgment, it's fine, if you understand it properly. Okay? Justice, in this instance, is talking about Jesus coming to right all that was wronged to the human race when Adam fell into transgression and the whole human race was born into sin. All the pain, all the suffering, all the hatred, all the sickness, all the poverty, all the wars, they're all a result of the deception of the devil and the sin nature of man. When we read the book of Revelation, we're not going to go there, but you can do this later. You can read about how Satan is bound into the pit for 1,000 years. And there's peace. But as soon as he's released, and I'm not going to get into why, don't ask me this right now, I'm teaching something else. But when he's released, it says immediately he goes and deceives the nations to war again. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is coming to bring justice to all of humanity that will allow him, who will receive the good news, receive a new creation, receive healing for their bodies, have their minds renewed, and walk with him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil." Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I don't know, but that sounds like good news to me. So I want to go and I want to explain judgment, because there's two facets of judgment I want us to understand. Because when you're out there in the world and someone all of a sudden says, "God wants to judge sin," and he wants to, you say, "You're right, agree with him," but then go to the Word. See, what happens is sometimes we disagree too soon. So then we alienate someone else who we might have been able to show something. So you're right. God does want to judge sin. You are absolutely right. But man, you know what I saw? And show them. Because see, they're prone to seeing judgment. Right. It's amazing how many people out there actually think that God's a God of wrath. He doesn't tolerate any foolishness. And I'm just like Him. I tolerate no foolishness. They don't know God. So we're going to come back to Isaiah 42, but I want to go over right now to, let's go to John chapter 9. I know we all know the story about the man who was born blind. And in John chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" You know, we waste so much time wanting answers to questions as to why this happened. As if it makes that big of a difference. Now, and sometimes it does make a difference as far as healing of the heart, to understand the root source of your fear. But that's as good as it gets. So in verse 3, Jesus answers them and says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." In other words, Jesus was saying, guys, let's not worry about why this guy was born blind. The issue is, he's blind. Now let's do something about it. Jesus, who sinned, he or his parents, that he was born with a sin nature? You know, Jesus was like, you inherited it from Adam. That's why I came. I came to change this situation. I didn't come to point out how awful you are, why you deserve to be sick, why you deserve to be in this problem. I came here to solve this. Amen. I came here to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus says, so many people get hung up on this and say, see, God made him blind so he could later heal him so then he could get the glory. Oh. Well, then if that's the case, then God made us sinners so he could turn around and die for us and then save us. No. God wasn't the source. In other words, Jesus said, neither he sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed. In other words, God's works had not yet been revealed in this guy. Does this make sense? If God did the sickness, at least that portion of God's work would have already been revealed. But Jesus said, I'm about to invade this problem. When someone preaches the gospel to you and you receive it, God invaded your problem, your sin nature, and created you righteous, created you holy. In verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. You know why he did this? I'm not going to sit there and teach a whole lot on this, but God wants us. Our part is to believe him. And we believe him, then what he said comes to pass. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man who wavers in his heart believe that he will receive anything from the Lord. Notice it did not say, let not the man who wavers think that God will give him anything. It said, let not that man think he will receive what God's already given. Yeah. Does this make sense? Right. See, too often we say, oh, God's not going to do it for you. God's already done it. Jesus already went to the cross. But if you're wavering, I don't think God loves me. I don't think God could save a sinner like me. I don't think. You know, a person has to get to the point where they say, okay, I believe God loves me. Boom, that's when it works. But that's not when he went to the cross. He already went to the cross. So when I'm preaching on healing to someone, I don't say this is what God's going to do. I say this is what God already did. So how in the world can your sin affect what God's already done? If he already did it before you showed up, all you have to do is receive it. But you can't be double-minded, or that will resist you from receiving what God's already provided for you. You know, we pray for people with AIDS. And I can't tell you how often the thought comes through your mind, it's the devil. This person, wonder what they did to get this. Almost every person, not everyone, but almost every person who has AIDS, at least as they're an adult, they did something to get it. And it probably wasn't something good. Babies are born with AIDS, so I'm not talking about them. Some people, unfortunately, some women get AIDS because their husband was out running around on them and brought it home to them. But as a rule, if someone's doing dope, they did it to themselves. Am I not telling the truth? The temptation is to get in the law in the flesh and listen to the devil and say, you deserve it. Nobody deserves it. And Jesus doesn't want us to ask him the question, so what'd you do to get this AIDS? Have you repented of that? Again, you're getting the eyes back on the person. You're getting the person to look back to themselves. They need to look only to Jesus. You know what? It doesn't matter what you did to get this AIDS. Jesus came and he died for your AIDS. He took your AIDS upon himself and you can be healed. Do you believe that? Yeah. We all of a sudden, whoa! Get their eyes right back on Jesus. And I believe that's what Jesus is teaching here. Guys, don't worry about why they have this problem. Let's do something. That's why I showed up. This was the purpose I came. To preach the gospel. To destroy the works of the devil. And if you weren't about that, you're not about the inheritance. No wonder your life is miserable. So we're talking about judgment here. He gets healed. I'm not going to read it. You can read it later on. The Pharisees get mad about it. They talk to his parents. His parents say, they're scared. Don't ask us. Ask him. He's of age. Why? Because they said, whoever acknowledges that he's the Christ will be put out of the synagogue. So if you have a Bible like mine, turn the page. We're in John chapter 9 now. Verse 35, he's put out of the synagogue. And so when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, who? The blind man who was healed. When he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Now watch this. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who's talking to you. How did this blind guy see Jesus when before they said, who was he? And he said, I don't know. He left before I saw. But Jesus says, you saw me, and I'm the one you saw. He saw him in his heart. We have to see what God's offering to us by revelation in our heart. That's more important than what we can see with our physical eyes. A lot of times we talk to people and we see that they're not really believing. They want to be healed. We see that they're not really believing. And we say, do you see yourself healed of this AIDS? So people, do you see yourself getting out of this wheelchair? Do you see yourself walking? Sometimes people, you know what? I really don't. I've been in this chair for 20 years. Every day I associate, this is my wheelchair. This is my diabetes. This is my cancer. This is my this, my that. You say, you know what? If this is yours, then you stole it from Jesus because he bore it for you. I'm not talking about anything condemnation, but we have to view it that way. This is not mine. This physical problem is not mine. Jesus bore this, so why am I keeping it? So look at this. Look at verse 38. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Now look at verse 39. This is an awesome verse. And this is where I'm coming in to when people say, God, Jesus came to judge. You're right, he did. Here we go. Verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. So let's talk about, what did he mean by this? What did Jesus mean by, for judgment I have come into this world? Now remember, he had just healed this guy. So this is related. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 48, verse 47. Remember, Jesus just said, for judgment I've come into this world. And look at verse 47. He said, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, that seems like a contradiction of terms here. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I've come to judge. I've come to the world. I've come to judge the world. For this reason, I've come into the world for judgment. And over here he says that I did not come to judge the world. What's he talking about? Let's turn over to John 16. We'll see. John 16 and verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he's come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So let's go back over to John chapter 12. Let's look at some other verse, another verse here. John chapter 12. Let's look at verse 31. And Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So what's the balance here? Jesus did not come to judge people. He came to judge Satan and his works and what he's done to people. He came to bring life and liberty to people and at the same time pronounce judgment on Satan that he's not the strong man anymore. A stronger man has come. He has spoiled him. And Satan, you are the loser. I am the victor. You guys getting this? So he did come to bring judgment to the world. This depends on what you're talking about. He came to bring judgment to Satan and his kingdom and to set those at liberty, those who are bound. The Bible tells us in Colossians that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. So let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 42. So now if you have a King James and you read judgment, now you're getting excited. It's talking about Satan, the bad part. The good part, justice. He's coming to set at liberty those who are free. What happens if a man is wrongfully accused and he goes to jail? You know, there's been plenty of people who have gone to jail and they were innocent of what they were convicted of. Justice takes place when it's found out and they let them free. And then pay them back. You know, Jesus will more than pay us back for what the devil did to us if we let him. The Bible says in Joel that God will restore the years that the canker worm, that's the devil, has destroyed. Isaiah 42. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Let's look at verse 4. He will not fail nor be discouraged. I want you to see this. Jesus will not fail. He will not be discouraged until he has established justice or judgment in the earth. And the coastlands shall wait for his law. Let's look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself is our covenant with God? Now that's good news because Jesus will never fail. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That first covenant didn't work out because God made it between himself and man blew it. He blew the first chance, blew the second chance. How many of you ever heard, Jesus is giving you a second chance today? No, he's not. Jesus is your second chance. And he'll never fail. God didn't just, you were ignorant of the way, so now I'm showing you the way, do better now. Let me tell you, the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. What God's required of us takes him doing it in us. Praise God, that's why he lives in us. That's why we're teaching what we're teaching, so we get out of the way and allow Jesus himself to live his life through us. Paul said, the life that I now live, it is not I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who live. Christ lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. That is not a positional truth. That is a reality. That is a powerful truth. That is absolutely 100%. When we get this revelation, we will start to see Christ able to live through us and do awesome things. Now, I don't know if you've discovered this, but in Isaiah chapter 42, it says that Jesus will not be discouraged and he will not fail until he's established justice in all the earth. And when we read Revelation, we saw how there was innumerable people from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred standing there. How many of you have read the Gospels at least once? How many of you ever found where Jesus went to China? Yeah. He never went to South America. He never went to Honduras. He never went to different parts of America. He's never gone to the different parts of Africa. He went to Egypt for a small period, but he didn't have ministry in Egypt. He didn't go to Australia. Jesus, as a matter of fact, said that his earthly ministry was limited to the children of Israel. And when Gentiles tried to get him to minister to them, it appeared that he rebuked them. It's not good to give crumbs to the dogs, to throw that which is the children's to the dogs. And the one Gentile lady said, but hey, even dogs get crumbs from the master's table. What did he say? Wow, I haven't seen such faith. Because she understood he's the covenant. And even though it wasn't time yet for that, Jesus said, we're going to go ahead and give it to her. But as a rule, Jesus never ministered to any Gentiles. He didn't go to Rome. He didn't go out of Israel. So how is Jesus going to receive the nations as his inheritance if he never went anywhere while he was on the earth? but Israel. I tell you, he goes in us. It is not us receiving the inheritance for Jesus. It is Jesus himself inside of us receiving the nations as his own inheritance. How many of you have ever gotten out of yourself and allowed God to minister to someone through you? Even though maybe you didn't know, you didn't feel like you knew what to say, you just said, okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jesus. It's got to be you, Jesus. And all of a sudden you open your mouth and vroom. God just orchestrates the whole conversation. And you could tell it wasn't you. It was Jesus flowing out of you. What happens in your heart? Floods with joy, does it not? I used to think that that was me being blessed. That I just got so happy that God used me. I have since come under the understanding that that was Jesus' joy himself I was feeling. Because he lives on the inside of us. And he was ministering to that person. And he was so blessed that I allowed him to flow through me to touch someone else. I was feeling his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy from the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus never told us to do a work for him. He told us to do a, let him do a work through us to people. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians and we'll see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but we have to not view ourselves according to the flesh. We can't say, oh, well, Jesus, oh, I would love to minister to them, but I can't. He didn't tell you to. So let him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We could read a few verses there, but we won't. Let us go to verse 18. It says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled to God. What I want you to see is that when you are preaching the message that Jesus ministered, when you're preaching the message that he told us to preach, and I'll probably get into this next hour because we're coming close to a break, I guess. I think we'll go to 2:30 and then we'll take a little break. But when we're preaching the same message that Jesus brought, it is Jesus himself imploring people through us to receive. And we've seen so much fruit from that. I used to get nervous whenever it was time for me to pray for someone that I'd never prayed for something before. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, I have an anointing for asthma, or I have an anointing for arthritis. And what I've started to discover is this. I'm not doubting that. But what I've discovered is this. That's where we're no longer doubting in those areas. Because I prayed for people with arthritis before, and I've seen them healed, then I believe that I can do that. But let someone come up I've never prayed for before, I may start to doubt a little bit. And I used to do that until I started to see that it wasn't me praying for someone, it was Jesus praying for them through me. I want to give you an example of what happened. This is a little different wrinkle on things, a little different way of looking at things. Yes, we know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, but actually living that this is a reality, not just a nice verse, has changed the way that we do things, and we're seeing more fruit as a result. I'm not doing something for God, because I've studied the word and I have a good message now. I am allowing Jesus, no matter what I know, to flow through me to touch people's lives. One day we were going into a mall down in Durban, South Africa. And as we're walking in, it was on a Friday afternoon, and it was one of those days where things weren't going very well. And I wasn't in the best of moods. All I wanted to do was go in, go to the grocery store, get the food we needed, and go home. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to be bothered. Does anyone ever have those days? So as I'm walking in, there's a Zulu lady sitting there with her child, a daughter, wasn't it? And she asks me for food. And I didn't want to deal with it. So I basically said, okay, yes, 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 okay, okay. And just walked by. So I walk into the store. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Jesus wants to minister to that lady, so I have a choice here. I can either allow him to minister to her through me, or I can say no. So I said, Lord, you're ready to minister to this lady regardless of what kind of mood I'm in. I may be in a bad mood, but you're not. So this just tilts all religion. I said, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow you to minister to her through me, even though I'm not feeling like it. So we bought her some food. We walked back out. She was still sitting there. Gave her the food. And I was tempted, again, just to give her the food and say, be blessed and walk away and go home. That's what Lisa was alluding to earlier. And I stood there for I don't know how many seconds, just quiet, looking at her. Because I know Jesus wanted to minister to her, but I'm thinking, but I don't feel like it. We do things way too much on how we feel.
Amen.
God can't touch her right now because I'm feeling grouchy. So my daughters are sitting there looking at me. And later on they told me, they said, I was thinking, surely he's not just going to walk away. Jesus wants to minister to her. I don't know what would have happened if I'd walked away. Maybe they'd have said, oh, I don't know. But then I just said, okay, God, here we go. I'm trusting you. I know you're in me. Here we go. Touch her, Lord. So I just said, has anyone ever told you what Jesus did for you? And she said, well, I go to church. I said, I didn't ask if you go to church. See, a lot of people down there, a lot of Zulus down there, a lot of them believe that they're Christians, but they're mixing a lot of ancestral worship, and they go to the witch doctor right after church, and their life does not reflect Jesus at all, because they're mixing. And I've discovered this, and this is not an anti-grace statement, but it's either only Jesus or you get nothing. The Ethiopian eunuch told Philip in Acts chapter 8, here's some water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with your whole heart, you may. He said, I believe. We had a lady that was in one of our little tent outreaches that we had right before we came back to the USA. It was the Wednesday. We left on a Wednesday, February 1st. This was the Wednesday before, the end of January. And in the music, she was falling down. She couldn't stand up. She was fine before she came into the tent, and as soon as the gospel music collapsed. So we bring her outside, pray for her, nothing happens. So then we start talking to her some more. She said, yeah, anytime I listen to this kind of music, I just fall down. Well, I knew that was no spirit. I said, do you want to be free? She looked at me. I said, do you want to be free of this? If you do, you have to receive Jesus only. You can't go to the wish. You can't do this no more. Do you want to be free? So she understood what I said. She said, yes. We prayed for her, cast out the spirit. And she was instantly delivered and healed. Came back in, came up and gave a testimony. Gave her life to Jesus. So anyway, there's that lady at the mall, and I say, has anyone ever told you what Jesus did for you? So I just shared the good news of Jesus with her really quickly. It doesn't take a long time. He bore your sin. He loves you. He bore your sickness. You don't have to be sick. You just look to him alone, that he accepts you, that he makes you acceptable in his sight. He makes you holy. He makes you righteous. Do you believe this? She said, yes. So I said, is there sickness in your body? Because we could tell. And she said, I have bad asthma. You could hear it. I said, Jesus is going to heal you right now. Prayed for her. In the name of Jesus, asthma, go and be healed. She was instantly healed. She started crying. I said, I was hoping someone would give me some money. I was going to go in and buy some of that asthma spray. I said, well, guess what? You don't have to buy asthma spray ever again. And Jesus didn't cost you a penny, but it cost Jesus' life. He died. He rose again because he loves you. She received Christ. I mean, she was blessed. If you read that letter, the newsletter there was one lady on the street. We met her on the street. She wrote us an SMS, a text a few months later and said, thank you for introducing me to the presence of God. She was healed. It's so easy when you're preaching life, preaching peace, preaching liberty. So that lady got healed. It's very, you know, I know there's a lot of you about to go on a mission trip. When you go, I want you to picture it's Jesus going and you're tagging along with him. That'll take the pressure off of you. We put so much pressure on ourselves. Oh, I can't do this. You're right. You're right, you can't, but Jesus can. We have a healing clip on this thing. I don't know if it'll work, but it will be on our website. We prayed for a lady. I never prayed for anyone that had a stroke and was paralyzed before. Prayer was on the right side of her face, all the way down the right side of her body. Never prayed for someone with a stroke before. So what? Jesus has. I'm not praying for her now. How many of you doubt Jesus can do something? No. It's when we look to ourselves that we start doubting. And you should. You're looking to the wrong place. So we prayed for her, and she was healed. I mean, in the clip, it's funny because she starts doing her arm like this, and you can see it. Even on the picture, I think, on one of them, you can see her arm waving. Her arm waving there on the very first. She couldn't raise her hand like that. No, in the brochure. She couldn't raise her hand like that. And so I remember she was doing her arm like this, and I'm thinking in my mind, because I'd never prayed for someone with a stroke before, and it was so natural. I mean, it wasn't like a big lightning bolt came or anything like that. She didn't, and it just, she just started waving her arm like this. So I'm thinking in my mind, it must not have been a bad stroke, because this is too easy. So I said, well, do something you couldn't do before. She said, I am. She said, but I still feel a little something, weakness. So I prayed for her arm again. I said, now do something that you couldn't do. She's doing her arm like this. I said, you couldn't do that? I said, you couldn't do that before. She's like, no, I couldn't. I was like, man, praise God. That's awesome. I had a testimony a little while ago that the pastor we were working with in that tent outreach, he said she's eating with her right hand. She hadn't done that in I don't know how long. A couple days later, we were in the Zulu area, out in the more rural area. We prayed for a lady that had a stroke. She was paralyzed again, and she was instantly healed and doing her arm. I was like, wow, this is a lot easier than I thought. When it's no longer us, but him doing it, wow. Yeah. What he can do when we get out of the way. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So next hour, we're going to come back. The next session, I'm going to talk about the message we need to bring so that we see Jesus doing the same works. Amen?